B-Pod Studios.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think we should probably call Sarge eventually because
that's where we were leaning.
You guys are being really mean.
That's where we were leaning when you came back in. I think let the healing begin. I think Sarge and Joe really need to hammer this out.
Because you guys are being really too hard on it. I don't know what gave you guys this idea that you can just go on like that on the radio talking about people that way. My goodness. See, I'm in a high horse. I've never done this before.
You see, you leave the building and things change.
Yeah, now I'm on a moral high ground. I'm on a boogie high horse.
Good to see you up here. How are
yeah.
you?
All right. Well, no, I'm just kidding. I think it would be funny if you called them. All right. The Lightning have captured the championship, and I have said before we can play the winning call, because you can hear Phil Esposito absolutely losing his mind, just so filled with joy at the idea of his Tampa Bay Lightning. Phil Esposito, no desire to be there, no desire to have anything to do with what's going on. And as I said earlier, what a waste. What a wasted place to have a hockey dynasty like this. And here's the call.
13 seconds left. Coleman looking to grab it. Dano trying to center it. Knocking it away. Yanni Gord. He clears it. He clears it. I don't think this is going to be an icing. No. 3 seconds left. Petrie, final shot. The Lightning have done it. They have done it.
They have gone
back to back for the second year in a row.
Wow.
They have won the Stanley Cup.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Phil. Good job.
Just like Game 7 against the Islanders.
Yep.
1-0. Another shutout for Vasilevsky in a series clinching game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really something. And by the way, if you think I'm full of it when it comes to craft beer and how ridiculous it is, Tampa Bay's rink ice used in limited edition beer.
Oh,
so that shows you just that's like Kiss putting a drop of blood into the ink for their comic book. Really, Tampa Bay. So that's really what goes in. You don't see people making limited edition wine using, I don't know, thrown away fruit from the room service trays of different Lightning players.
A bunch of crazy morons.
All right.
That was supposed to be Esposito.
It was not, but it was someone from that show. So, like I said, listen, they're the best team in hockey. We knew that. We knew that they were going to beat the Canadiens. It's almost like they wanted to do it in Tampa Bay. Because they could have swept them if they wanted to. They were that much better a team. They're going to be good for a really long time. Their goaltender is young,
yep,
and he's not going anywhere.
Signed for a while.
And so, I mean, they're going to be the best. And unfortunately, the Bruins are going to have to play them a lot, and they're going to have to get through them in the playoffs, and just Tampa Bay's going to be better than the Bruins. But
back in their division next year, by the way.
Yes, and it is a little. It just feels a little wasted in Tampa Bay. And listen, I'm sure there's 40,000 people there that are very excited about it, but it just seems to, when you see the other teams that have won back-to-backs and their fan bases, I mean, it's insane, but it's just not going to be the case there. But who is this after the game? This is Kucherov after
yes.
the game?
Yeah, shirtless with a beer going.
That's right. Kucherov on Zoom, not wearing a shirt. Drinking beer.
He's drinking beers.
Yes.
He's having the time of his life. Here's maybe the beer that is made from the limited edition rink ice. Here is Kucherov after the game.
Lightning, we have Nikita Kucherov. Media, please back, raise baby. Your hand if you have a question. We'll start with Joe Smith, The Athletic.
Joe, let's hear it.
Just, let's go, buddy. How would you describe your congratulations? How would you describe your emotions right now after doing what you guys did?
I don't know what to say. It's a back to back, and yeah, I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. You know, and to be able to win this game is huge. Wesley was outstanding. MVP. I was telling him every day, Wesley, you MVP. You're the best player. And then they gave it to whatever the guy in Vegas, the Vezina. And then last year they gave Vezina to somebody else. Number one bull. Number one bull. Wesley took both cups. you know, he took MVP, and I was keep telling him he's MVP. He's the guy that he's the best. I'm so happy we. I didn't want to go back to Montreal, but they acted. The fans in Montreal, come on, they acted like they won the Stanley Cup last game. Are you kidding me?
John Romano, Tampa Bay Times.
Their final was last series. Okay.
Well, listen to that. I don't know what he's snorting. I don't know what's going on with his nasal passages. That's an awful lot of exaggerated snorting going on. Do you think you can get effed up after a game like that, like immediate? Do you think he's legitimately effed up just because you are so dehydrated and you're drinking alcohol and that it gets into your bloodstream that fast?
No, see, I feel like it's the opposite because you're sweating your ass off and it's just going to come out.
So he's just on pure emotion at that point.
What was the lag time? Half an hour?
Yeah, and he was drinking a Bud Light or something like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But who knows what they're doing back there.
Right.
He's snorting. They're in Tampa Bay, and he's snorting the day away.
He's pounding a handle of vodka before he goes up there.
Or he's snorting who knows what. I mean, he's snorting the booger sugar. I can't speculate here, but he was overtly snorting. But say what you will about the Montreal fan base. First of all, I don't know how he would know. There's five people in that building. I guess when the buses left, it pissed them off, probably delayed them. But yeah, Montreal would have been a riot. If Montreal would have won the Stanley Cup, there would have been a riot. It would have been insanity. And that's why Tampa Bay is a little bit disappointing that they've gotten this team and that they'll continue to have this team because they should win the Cup next year too. I mean, are they in a Toronto-like situation where they're going to, I know that they had to cook the books this year.
Yeah, and they had long-term injured reserve. Kucherov didn't play during the regular season. They put him on long-term injured reserve, and in the playoffs, the cap doesn't matter.
Right.
You can still bring guys in and pay over the cap.
Right.
I mean, Dougie Hamilton in the first round said, we lost to a team that was, you know, $12 million over the cap. Well, those are the rules.
Yeah, so obviously
Kucherov's salary didn't count during
they're obviously going to have to do something, but it just seems like the pieces are in place.
Yeah, they have everyone back forward-wise next year. And they have their top four defensemen back next year also.
And then they have their
They have Vasilevsky signed through at least a 26-27 season.
Okay. Well, they're going to be really good for a long time.
Yes, they are.
They're in Tampa Bay. Hockey town Tampa Bay.
Will Esposito be back? That's the question.
Esposito is going... believe me, if Esposito could leave, he would have left a long time from now. If you don't know the story about Esposito feels that he brought hockey to Tampa Bay. He was working closely with the NHL and the whoever the hell owned the team at the time to bring hockey to Tampa Bay. I interviewed him a couple times and I've read his book actually, and it was very, very, very bitter, at least at the time of the writing of the book, at the Tampa Bay organization and at the NHL. He feels like he was squeezed out. So the idea that he's doing radio broadcasts means that there is a necessity for him to be doing those radio broadcasts. And that there is a guilt within the organization that they feel like they need to be doing something. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. So, good for the Lightning for winning the Cup, but, like, Nikita Kucherov, like, downplaying how the fans, like, were super pumped about winning a game to save themselves from getting swept. Like, he just looks like an a-hole. Like, the dude's played 20 games this year, and the two cups for Tampa, like, yeah, they're back-to-back, but they're two, like, asterisks, like, the bubble season and then this season. So, like, go win a cup in a regular season and then come talk to me about, like, he's just a tool and a D-bag. So, whatever. Like, screw him. Like, whatever. Good for them.
Yeah.
He may be all those things, but he's one of the best five players in the world. And Tampa Bay was the best team. I don't put asterisks next to them. The right team won, regardless of what the circumstances were.
They got to play with the cab. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, just for next year, you guys are talking about how they're going to have a stacked team, but they're already $5 million over projected salary, and that's only 19 players signed.
Oh,
so they're losing a bunch of players already. I had to look it up last night because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah,
have to make some trades and get rid of some players. So
okay, so they have to.
It'll be good, but there's no high hope of them actually being guaranteeing anything.
So just because they have these guys signed next year does not necessarily mean they can keep them, is what you're saying?
Yeah, and some of the guys that they don't have signed, like Goudreau and stuff, aren't signed, so they might not even be able to re-sign them. So
okay,
that's what it's it's going to cause a little hiccup there. But have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All right, take it easy.
I'm looking at, they have Gaudreau and Coleman and David Savard and Luke Shen. They're all free agents, and they're $4 million over.
Okay.
That's true.
But you're looking at the people they have signed and will have next year, and there's still
Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Palat, Gord, I mean, Victor Hedman, Ryan McDonough, Sergachev, the goaltender, they're all back. And whatever maneuvering Tampa has to do to make that happen.
It's minor maneuvering.
Minor maneuvering. And even if you lose one of those guys, which I don't think they're going to do, you're still an overwhelming favorite.
Yeah. So, there you go. They're going to be a favorite next year. They're going to be better than the Bruins next year.
Yes.
And then it's a crapshoot in the play. No matter what the Bruins do this year is in the offseason, Tampa Bay is going to be better. And so it's just a matter of how things fall in the playoffs. But again, I mean, you can say what you will about the Montreal fans, but if the reaction of the Montreal fans after a Game 4 win is probably greater than the reaction of the Tampa Bay fans after a Stanley Cup victory, because, again, there's probably 40,000 diehard Tampa Bay Lightning fans, and that's great. And I don't care, and they pay their money and they do their thing, but when you think of 2011 in Boston, when I think back to 97-98 in Detroit, when you think back to the Pittsburgh teams that won back-to-backs, I mean, it took over that city. But, it's just not the case.
By the way, looking
it's just not going to be the case.
Look at him 2 years out. The only guy they're really in danger of losing is Palat. Now, he's really good, but
he's one guy.
Kucherov is 28. He'll be 30 in 2 years. We've had this discussion about Steven Stamkos, who is ageless. He is only 31. You would think he'd be 39. He's been playing since he was 12.
He's been in the NHL since he was 12.
He's still going to be 32, 33. I mean, 2 years out, Tampa's still going to be good.
Yeah. And I didn't grow up here, so I don't have this hatred of the Canadians.
Oh.
So, I mean, it would be disingenuous to say I did. I don't.
I was so happy the Canadians got run over. I was so happy. How many Montreal diving team t-shirts did you see outside? How pissed were we every time the Bruins would go up to the Bell Center in the Forum beforehand? You know, people would yell and scream, and it would count for at least two minor penalties against you each time you went up there.
The most ridiculous thing was the people calling 911 on Chara.
911 for Chara checking Pacioretty, who was watching a movie 2 days later.
But then you had Vancouver, and I didn't grow up here.
The Canadians were the team.
You had to grow up here in the 80s, the 70s and the 80s, to have that hatred.
What I'm saying is a new generation of Bruins fan can hate this team just as much for those reasons.
But they're not having been good enough. Like, Tampa Bay has been better. Montreal hasn't been good enough.
But
they haven't been. I mean, so
the two teams have met in the playoffs, first round of the playoffs, a couple of times.
But,
I mean,
But I was there. When Boston was growing as a team, they took Montreal, and I believe they were an 8 seed, and Montreal was a 1 seed. They took Montreal to six or seven games.
Seven games,
because I was at the game 6. So Montreal has always been a slight impediment, but during this run, they haven't really been that much in the way.
I remember when Joe Thornton had one of his better years, and the Bruins finished, I think, they were certainly first in the division, and maybe they had the best record.
Early 2000s.
Yes, but that's early 2000s. And the Canadians beat them in 7 games.
I'm talking about to have a hatred, to have a incredible hatred of them, and it's justified, but you have to have grown up here in the 70s and 80s, or the 80s and 90s. Because I've been here since 2006, and the Canadians haven't been that big a problem. They've just been kind of around.
Yep.
I mean, in the series they called 911, the Bruins won. So, I mean...
Yeah, but it's just... I mean, look, my vision of P.K. Subban is not Nashville, it's not New Jersey. It's him pulling all that crap while he was in a Canadians uniform.
All I'm saying, there's a lot of teams to hate all over all the sports. And it's just, I just don't hate Montreal. No. I don't, some people do.
We differ. Yes, I do. And
I don't say that it's unjustified. I just don't think that...
The fans are eminently hateable.
Yes, but so are Boston fans.
Well, I'm one of them, so I don't hate Boston fans. Your point is the Canadians. The smarmy Canadian fans who think they invented the game of hockey.
Well,
Wow. And this is the first year they've been relevant in 28 years.
This is, listen, all I'm telling you is that I understand your hatred of them, but I do not have a one because I don't think there's a legitimate reason
for all those reasons I just mentioned. You should have a hatred of them, too.
No, because they haven't been in the way. They haven't been a problem.
Unleash the hatred on this group of people.
They haven't been a problem. There's plenty of teams.
Canadians fans are massive problems.
Yeah, but then you go to Montreal, and then you're like, oh, I'm in Montreal, and everything's kind of fun here. Xana, dude!
You're saying Bruins fans are annoying?
Not true.
No, not true.
Not true.
I mean, I'm a Bruins fan.
Hey, do the Canadians have a fan skating on rollerblades outside the Bell Center?
Probably.
No.
There's too many of them.
I would like to find out if that's the case.
There's just too many
Xana
of them.
Shorts
and
roller skates. The experience of those Boston fans in the studio that day, man.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah, but that's great, but that's not Montreal. Nate, go ahead.
Dude, it's not the team nowadays. It's for the younger generation. I'm 31 and I grew up in New Hampshire. It's the fans, dude. And my parents have a place up in Vermont, and when all those Canadians come down and the French Canadians come down and ride their little bikes around, and they speak their French, oh, dude, it's so annoying, bro.
Get out of the country. Oh, you don't speak the language, right?
See, I love all people. I don't know anything about that. Listen, I don't.
It's Canadians speaking that foreign language stuff.
I don't see that many French Canadians. I don't run into French Canadians at all.
Well, another reason not to go to Vermont, Fred.
I'm never going to Vermont. I'm literally never going to go to Vermont. Like, there would have to be such an insane reason where I would be like, well, obviously I have to go. Like, it would be like someone I love died in a plane crash there and I identify
sure.
the body.
Okay.
But, like, if it was like, if Nick's wedding was in Vermont, just not to go to Vermont, I'd be like, I'm not going to Vermont. I can't go to the wedding.
Idiots riding their bikes, speaking a language I can't understand. Damn them all.
It is funny, though, that you'll go to Paris and more people will admit to speaking English than when you go to Montreal. That is kind of funny. And you're like, dude, you all speak English. And we have two friends from Montreal, and they don't even have accents. The girl grew up there.
Yes.
The girl grew up there and lived there into her 20s, and she doesn't even have an accent.
An old woman, same thing. Yep, true.
She's the French Canadian, a Jewish French Canadian. No accent at all. No accent at all. Big group of Jewish French Canadians, but you wouldn't know that because you turned your back on your religion.
I was unaware.
All right. We will be back. Joe Murray is, people want to weigh in. Manny wants to weigh in. John wants to weigh in. Joe Murray is having a problem with Sarge.
Are we going to call him? Is it
yes, we're going to call Sarge.
Okay,
Joe's being way too hard on but we'll explain the situation and hopefully talk to Sarge, talk this whole thing out in coming up. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Toucher and Reed. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sup-zo, Sarge here. Want to beam up? It's all good, baby. Sarge, 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 Sarge. Sup-zo, sup-zo. Sarge, 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 Sarge. I'm watching you so, watching you so. Sarge, 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 Sarge.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray is, Rich is on vacation. Joe Murray is in for him. And Joe works very hard. Everyone knows, if you listen to the show, that I listen to a lot of Joe Murray because I have children involved in sports, actively involved in sports. So I'm in the car on the weekends traveling throughout the state. Where I will have my ideas for how the state can better appropriate its funds and use them all for major roadways. coming up very shortly. But nonetheless, not to digress, Joe Murray works very hard on the weekends, cultivating relationships. Joe Murray loves food more than any human being. When I say loves food, I'm not talking about the amount of food he eats. I'm talking about the sheer joy that food brings him more than any other human being I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, the way he rhapsodizes about, I mean, you name a city, Worcester, Joe.
I went to Chow Bella recently, and I like Nancy Chang's buffet.
Don't forget the liquor store.
Oh, Kelly Square.
So, I mean, and Joe, what did you get when you went to the Italian place?
I got a chicken parm.
He found one.
Yeah. It's the key.
Do you hear his, well, that's the wiggest thing. So when he says chicken parm, he like slows down.
Yeah.
Like it triggers like endorphins in him when he hears this. Lynn, the city of Lynn.
Oh, the city of Lynn. Oh, well, there's lots. Tacos Lapita is probably one of my favorites. That one's really good. They got an RF O'Sullivan's, the best burgers in town, and they cut their potatoes like real French fries.
So yesterday, Joe's like, so someone called in. So Joe, he's on the air all weekend long. If he needs a pass to the beach to park, he's pumping that beach like you wouldn't believe. So he cultivates these relationships through hard work. I mean, the man has a full-time job other than here. And on the weekends when he's on the air, he's cultivating these relationships with meat suppliers and restaurants. And, I mean, people call in. They get so excited when they hear Joe. So Joe has cultivated a relationship with Dom Sausage. He mentioned them one time on a Bankroll Boys segment on this very show. I looked down, and one of the lines was in use on the phone, and when that happens oftentimes in radio, that's not good news. So that means someone's bitching about something, and you never know what someone's going to bitch about. So it was Joe, and he was talking to Dom Sausage, and next thing you know, Joe's over the moon. He's on Instagram. He's hanging out with Dom. He's got photos. He's going down to the Cape. He's got the steak tips and sausages. He can't get enough. So, there's a legitimate love. If you think he got anything for free, he has the invoice. He'll show it to you. He's got an invoice on him, which is always a sign of the innocent.
I was given a tour because I said I was going to.
To the slaughterhouse?
To Tom's Sausage.
Was there a slaughterhouse on premises?
Not. Nope. Okay. They purchased their own meat.
Okay.
And then they do it all by hand from there.
Oh,
but I was
BS. I was going to go.
But I was
there's no slaughterhouse.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I did a tour.
They hang them upside down and slit their throats.
Really?
And let the blood run. Yeah, had a good one. Guys, at a good one, you'll be up to your ankles in cow blood. Do tell, though, your tale.
You can't see me.
So they took you on a tour. And long story short, Joe took photos with Dom. He's got him on Instant.
And I bought a bunch of meats for the 4th of July festivities.
Yeah, he's got him on social media. And so lo and behold, yesterday, Joe goes, have you seen this? And I have to go, see what? Well, I'll be honest with you. I had not seen it. And he goes, Sarge. Now, Sarge is out at Dom Sausage. And he said, thanks to Dom Sausage. And took a picture of Dom Sausage's van, and so he's traipsing on Murray's ground
less
over
than a
here.
Day after Joe was talking about
right it. So Manny, your thoughts.
Look, guys, I don't really know Michelle Riley that much, but I feel like, look, we're all entitled to go get some meats, but I feel like he went over there and said, hey, I work for 98.5 the Sports Hub, to try to get himself some free stuff. That's what I think happened.
You think that he was taking advantage of Joe's fame?
Joe and 98.5, yeah.
Well, I don't know
exactly
about that.
What happened.
That's all Joe's relationship. 98.5 does not have a relationship with Dom Sausage, even though Dom's is getting tens of thousands of dollars worth
just
of advertising.
Say, how many mentions in the last 45 minutes?
Yeah, business is not to blow up Joe's spot. This is not going to happen again. But you really do have to advertise in the station. But and believe me, I don't know anything from Dom Sausage. John has a theory. John, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Joe, I hate to do this to you, man, but if you really want to get Joe's blood boiling, send him over to Tutu's in Hyde Park. That's Joe's probably been going there since he's a young buck.
Yep, so. Tutu's. I know Emilio. Yep. Good guy.
Oh, see, there you go.
All right, I don't know what
Robin Wellesley was a sponsor of my old show years back.
You guys are talking. You guys are talking Hyde Park and Ease. I don't understand.
What just happened?
Tutto Italiano. It's his little hype shop.
That's the best.
You know Tutto's, right. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen. Everyone's losing their minds. All right. Uh-huh. So anyway, Sarge kind of went over and blew up Joe's spot. Like, obviously, Sarge didn't just go to Dom's Sausages. There was no way. It's too much of a coincidence. And so, you know, he's going and following in Joe's footsteps. He's done, he did so with Boom Boom Games, who does advertise. And Boom Boom Games is all Jay Stu. I cultivated that relationship. I said, when you get NWO dolls, call in. So Sarge is there. Now, is Sarge answering the phone? Can we call? He's not answering the phone. Well, that would have been good to know before I started this bit. Nick always at the ready as a he calls himself a producer on this show.
I saw that line blank, and I'm like, oh, Fred's kind of leading us to a place where
he's calling. Yeah, the whole thing was to lead up to a phone call with Sarge, but obviously Sarge is not answering the phone, so it's not fair to judge Sarge. But Joe, you're upset.
I'm not upset.
You are upset.
I'm not upset. He pulled this
with me earlier, Fred, while you were outside. He said he's not upset. He's more perturbed, which is...
Isn't that upset?
That's exactly what I'll share the message.
Yesterday, I texted Dom, hey, man, thanks. We had a great weekend. And I just said, hey, I saw that my buddy Sarge came in this weekend. And he goes, yeah. Was that because of you or... does he just come here a lot? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Intriguing.
And that's kind of how we left it out. But, you know, he was just like, you know.
So it's your fault you sent that maniac into the store. That's what he's getting at.
I'll tell you, when everyone goes on vacation around 985 The Sports Hub, odd things start happening.
But it's still all good.
Yeah, it is all good as far as I'm concerned. I love Sarge. I don't know why you guys are so mean to him. But, you know, what am I going to do about it? I can't step in. Joe's obviously, he's had it up to here with it. But I did think that that was over the line. Even if it was Rich, and I had, say Rich had a relationship with, like, disc golf. And so he was like, I give it up for, like, Wooby Frisbees are the greatest Frisbee in the world. And then I went... and then he put it up on Twitter, and then I went over there, like, you know, a week later and did the same thing and never talked to Rich about it. I mean, Rich would have a right to be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yes.
He would pretend not to care, but he would care.
Yeah.
It would bother him because I would be like encroaching on his territory.
Yeah.
And so you work so hard on the weekends to cultivate these relationships.
I don't even know.
you're right, Fred. You're right, actually.
You work naturally for Joe. I don't know how Joe has
this megaphone on the weekends, and he gets up, and he has another full-time job, and he gets up, and he comes in here, and he works and works and works, and he finally cultivates a relationship over the course of months with Dom. And then the next thing you know, Sarge is in there without this megaphone. What's Sarge going to do for him? Yeah. Put it on Twitter?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares about that? That's not any good. Joe put something on Twitter. How many followers does Sarge have on Twitter?
I wonder if he has more than me.
Oh.
Sarge has 14,000 followers.
How many do you have?
Ooh, I don't know.
All right. Well, all I got to know is...
I have 21.5. Okay.
Yeah, 14,000 ain't no influencer numbers, baby. That ain't no influencer numbers. Yeah.
I started thinking about getting a TikTok, because I'm not sure if anyone's on there.
Well, there's a lot of people on TikTok. It's the way the kids are consuming their information now. In fact, I have a friend who watches TikTok now. He's become addicted to it. An adult friend who is... you too?
No, God, no.
Oh, no. My friend says... he says the algorithms work. He says that you start... picking out things and searching things, and the next thing you know, you're looking at TikTok for five hours a day.
Well,
so it's worked for him, the algorithms. Well, that's a shame that we couldn't get Sarge on. But Joe, you're going to try to work this out with him?
I'll be on the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast this Sunday with Sarge and Jay Stu.
Are you going to be talking about NWO?
Yes.
The anniversary.
It's a very big anniversary.
Because you're talking to Scott Hall today.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash today.
Yep, the Outsiders. They'll be in town this week.
Is Jay Stu going to sit in on the interview?
No, it's just me.
Interesting.
I tried to get one of them live on today or tomorrow, but I guess there's like a hurricane or something happening.
Huge anniversary in the wrestling community, Fred.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it's the whole COVID.
It ain't no Montreal screw job.
And would you say that is a watershed moment for the sport?
I would say the Hulk Hogan heel turn was the biggest in history, followed by the start of the New World Order, NWO.
I think when the Junkyard Dog lifted his leg on Steve Lombardi in a house match in 1984. Or when Kamala the Ugandan Giant got loose away from his handler.
Kamala.
What did I say?
Kamala is a restaurant.
It's a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to.
I love it. Yeah, of course. I have one. There's one in Natick Center.
They make that pasta. Right. Mess,
oh, no, yeah. No one's ever had that before. Mm-hmm. Of course. Even I've had that. All right. Well, we will be back. And when we come back, we can talk about the Celtics. Jason Tatum has been talking about the new digs. He's got Kobe Bryant's number. He's playing for Team USA. There's a new coach over there. And it's really a question of who we want to talk to, and it's between boring and bored, between the new coach. We are going to miss Danny Ainge. That is a fact. That is going to be a fact. All right, because Danny was sure enough with himself that he didn't care. He did say what you will, and a lot of you did. But even the hardcore, because the people that complained about the interviews were obviously Celtics diehard crazy people. And he said enough for you to listen every week. And I don't know if you're going to get that with these new guys, but we'll talk about Tatum coming up. Here are the headlines.
It's all good, baby.
98.5, the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dig. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And there is a... Olympics going on, even though Japan is in a state of emergency.
No fans at any event.
I don't know, really. I've everything now, like, by the way, surge. Good Morning America, that's the third time today they've used the term surge for different things. New surge in signing bonuses. They said new surge in hospitalizations with the COVID Delta variant. Or don't worry, we're not talking about COVID. My point being... I'm not paying any attention to that crap. As soon as I got my second vaccination, which they want us to sign something here, but I don't even know how you get it back onto the email. Like, you have to scan it and everything else. I don't know. I don't know how the hell you do
idea.
That.
No.
Like, there's electronic signatures. When people want your money, when they want money, they it's real easy to start signing things online. With the electronic signatures, yeah. But I don't know about printing this thing out and signing it. So whatever, that's something else. But so I don't pay any attention to it. So I have no idea why Japan couldn't get it together, why they can't have the Olympics. I mean, they knew this was coming. I have no idea why they couldn't get it under
they're
control.
They are going to have the Olympics.
Well, yeah, they have to.
I mean, they the amount of money the country and the networks would lose at this point is astronomical. You have to do it.
It was never going to get canceled. And when it would have taken a war it wasn't going to get canceled because of COVID. Unless it was like, you understand what I'm saying? It would have had to be a disaster like COVID was a year ago, or it would have to be a threat of war or a policy act. There was no way Japan was just going to go like, okay, we're not going to have the Olympics because unless it was exceptionally dire circumstances. I think they would have had it last summer. As a matter of fact, I think they still would have had it just with no fans, because when you say the networks are depending on it, NBC's schedule 2 years out is all programmed around when the Summer Olympics are, when they're debuting new shows, when they're taking shows off the air, who they're giving money to. All those things are dedicated to them broadcasting the Summer Olympics. So fans or not, it was going to happen. So that was going to happen. So anyway, the U.S. Does anyone care about the USA basketball team?
I do.
No.
The only thing I care about is who's either trying to sway Tatum or is Tatum trying to sway.
Okay, so you think this is a chance for him to rub elbows with the
elite?
Yeah,
this is a chance for him to really, really step into the light and say, okay.
Even though he will not be starting for this team.
More than likely not, but this is a chance for Tatum to really step into the light and showcase himself as a top player that other players want to play with.
Even though he is not going to be a starter on this team.
It does not appear that way.
I'm more afraid that other players are going to sway Tatum than anything.
Maybe.
Because this team is no great shakes.
This team's going to win the gold medal.
You mean the gold team. I thought you meant the Celtics, but...
No, the Olympic team is no great shakes.
They should still win the gold.
There's a lot of things they should win. I mean, remember when it was basically the USA team was the Celtics? And they couldn't even...
Yes. That was the FIBA World Cup.
And they couldn't even get a medal?
That was the Ime Udoka team, right?
Oh, was
yes.
it?
Yes,
well,
that
it was.
That doesn't speak well. That's not good.
Popovich was the head coach. Udoka was an assistant.
Okay.
But all still. Right.
Udoka is the new coach of the Celtics, and Jason Tatum was asked about him. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I got to know him a little bit. I think what stands out the most is, you know, I guess when you're coming up as an assistant, you know, you get your first head coach job that, you know, you're driven and motivated. From the conversations that I've had with him since he's, you know, gotten the job, I can tell he's just really, really excited. It's going to be fun, and, you know, we're going to try to accomplish something big.
I bet. What is there another good team in the Olympics? Is there another country that has a strong team?
Brazil, Argentina was good. Brazil and Spain, right?
Is some country not going to have any money and need Jerry Garcia to give them horrible uniforms to start publicizing their band?
I would say...
Coolest team. That just came up on my Facebook feed. Someone I'm quote-unquote friends with on Facebook put up like, coolest uniforms ever. Way to go, Jerry. When they gave like Lithuania those stupid tie-dye uniforms, I would have quit the Lithuanian team.
Yep.
I would have quit in disgust. I think Lithuania won a medal that year, if not the gold. So if there's no other teams, I guess.
Ooh, but so USA is the favorite. Serbia and Spain, +800. And then France, Australia, Greece has Giannis.
You got to figure if you're on Spain or Serbia, you're trying harder. That you have more to prove.
Yeah, I mean, the Spain team almost won, right? They had the brothers there.
Gasol?
There you go.
Yes, Pau and Mar who's are the both point guard the
there? Rubio.
Yeah.
So you figure they're trying harder. But as you talk about Joe, Jason Tatum being able to sway people, there is a man by the name of Bradley Beal who is on this team who he is friends with.
Yes, St. Louis.
And he discussed talking with, both St. Lunatics, both very big fans of country grammar. This is Jason Tatum talking about playing with Beal in the Olympics.
Playing with my big brother. Two guys from the same neighborhood, same high school, going to the Olympics from St. Louis. That's like a dream. That is amazing. Playing with all these guys like Dame, obviously KD, you know, somebody just played against in the playoffs, end up on the same team. K-Love, Trayvon. I go down the list of everybody. I've known Bam since I was middle school. So I'm excited.
He's known Bam since he was in middle school, and you wonder why there's problems. It's all the AAU system.
Yes.
Every problem with players getting too crazy and players never being happy where they are and players not caring when you step on the logo, it just traces it all back to AAU. He's right. I mean, if you're in eighth grade and you're 6'6 and can jump, I mean, you're playing nationally and on someone else's dime. You're not having to pay for that. I mean, you're in camps all summer. That's why when these guys get into these major college programs, they get hurt right away because they've been playing far too much basketball. And here's Bradley Beal talking about playing with Tatum.
We're both excited. We grew up 5 minutes from each other, you know, to have two of the same guys from the same high school on the same team is, I don't know if that's ever happened, you know, for USA basketball. And this is definitely exciting for both of us. I'm happy about his growth. I'm excited to see him on a global stage just as well as myself and everybody, man. We have a really good team, but you know, Jason and I have a special relationship. You know, the ultimate thing is getting the goal, whatever that means.
It's interesting to me, and Joe, you're right. It could go one of two ways. The Celtics are doing their best to make sure their best player is happy. They hired the head coach basically that he wanted. They've kept Jaylen Brown on the team. It looks like he gets to play with Jaylen Brown. The two of them seem to have a good relationship. And the hope is, now that they've made Tatum happy, he will go to Tokyo and say, okay, they've given me the environment I've wanted. It looks like this head coach, who all of you guys are familiar with, can really go and get something done here. And the role that he's supposed to play, everything I read from Greg Popovich basically said yesterday Tatum was going to be his go-to guy on that FIBA World Cup team until Tatum sprained his ankle. Popovich thinks highly of him, and I think that also matters. So you add all these things together, I really want to see what he does, whether it be in a spot start or a high reserve role, because he was supposed to be the guy 2 years ago. Now he's on a roster that's much better. Let's see what kind of impact he has, both behind the scenes
and
on the court.
Would you want Beal on this team?
At this point, yes.
I think Bradley Beal is one of the best shooters in the league, but what separates him is when John Wall was out. And John, maybe you covered a couple of those games, but he became a point guard.
Yes,
like he can do. I love Jaylen Brown, two-way player, but Beal can actually play multiple positions.
Would you want the three of them on the same team, Tatum, Brown, and Beal?
If I don't know if it can happen, but yes.
But if that was your big three,
yes,
yeah,
I would do that. Sure.
Okay, and you think that that's a championship team?
They're in the running.
I think it depends on the cheap center you get, but yes. It depends on the cheap rebounding you get as a result.
And at times, like, I think Beal can do things Tatum can't. Tatum has to do more than just be the scorer.
Well, if Beal were on this team, if we're going to go down this road, if Beal were on this team, he could focus on just scoring, leaving Tatum to do a lot of other things.
Yep.
So much of the problem the Celtics had during the season was because Tatum was so good, they relied on him to do everything. And the games that Kemba Walker didn't play, Jason Tatum had to bring the ball up a lot. I mean, you take some of that responsibility away from him, and he can focus on other things, rebounding, passing, that kind of stuff. And you have Beal over there, who's guaranteed 25 a night, just falling out of his bed. I think that it saves Jason Tatum a lot of ways.
Does Horford and Robert Williams, are they enough to be the rebounding bigs that you could put you over the top?
Well, how's Horford's knee? And how does Robert Williams evolve from here?
I thought Horford was really good when he played last year. They took him out of the lineup just to tank.
That's true. But the reason the Celtics didn't give him the fourth year he wanted was because of his knee, which was a problem.
And Horford's no rebounder. Let's just be honest. Now, Williams, they got something there.
If you have those three guys, Tatum, Brown, and Beal, somehow, if you manage to swing that, and you have Horford and Robert Williams as your other two guys, I think you may have something there.
All right. Well, then hope that Tatum is Johnny on the spot, is over there trying to sway guys.
Do you think this thing's going to happen, by the way, with everything happening in that country?
I like that you heard my preamble, but yes. I did just discuss this just moments ago.
So, but like, about, you think it's going to happen?
Took him about 6 minutes to line up.
No, I know nobody's going to be there, but do you think it's even going to happen?
Yes. It's going to happen.
It has
sure.
to. It
There's
has
way,
to happen.
Way, 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 way too much money on the line.
Yeah. Way too late. Way too late to do it. I mean, Tokyo doesn't have. Look, they can't delay it again, even if we were 6 months ago. I mean, the Winter Olympics is in February. You can't push it back.
It's happening. It's happening. Yes. It's not nail-biting time. I mean, they did their last straw. There's not going to be people there that you can't watch it. Which means that the basketball games with that squeaking in the shoe, that summer league thing, who cares?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible to watch. And quite honest, I sometimes often hope the United States loses in basketball. It's the one sport that I hope they lose. Hockey, I always want them to win. The basketball.
That's because they're the overwhelming favorites in basketball and the underdog in hockey.
Yes, that's absolutely what it is. I mean, they're too good. There's no reason. It's like USA soccer should win everything, but they don't. USA basketball, there's no excuse.
USA soccer is the underdog whenever they step on the field, regardless of how much the population is.
I always say USA soccer. It's to root for them in like a preliminary round or something is ridiculous. There's way too many people here, and way too much money. to not be the best.
It's like the women are the best. Why can't the men be good?
Well, of course,
women because have been women the best for 30 years.
Women play soccer through high school, and other and the male athletes go do something else. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.